Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going way back to 1983. We're taking a look at Cullender v. Lawson.
Oh, good one.
Supreme Court case. Yeah. And I know what you might be thinking.
Yeah.
Ugh, another old case.
Right.
But seriously, trust me on this. As you're going through law school,
absolutely,
making your way through the legal world, Cullender is going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to understand it.
It's a foundational case.
Yeah, and it's a perfect example of how the Constitution, especially the Due Process Clause in the 14th Amendment,
right,
it protects us from laws that give the police a little too much power.
Yeah.
You know, without any real checks and balances.
Yeah, too much discretion.
Yeah. And so for this deep dive, we're going to break down this landmark decision, and we're going to look at why it's still relevant even today in 2025 mm-hmm. for understanding the limits of police power.
I think for law students especially, Cullender is a huge lesson.
Oh, yeah.
In what happens when criminal laws are badly written, when they're unclear, when they're vague. And so we're really looking at this basic question. Can the government, can a cop force you to show ID?
Just because they want to.
Just because they feel like it, without any clear rules.
Right, right.
About what counts as a good ID.
Exactly.
So it sounds kind of simple. Right. But it has some really, really big consequences for, like, our basic freedoms.
Yeah. Huge. And to understand the full impact, you know, we got to talk about Edward Lawson.
Okay.
So imagine this. You're walking down the street and you get stopped by the police.
Happens all the time.
Oh, yeah. Not just once, not twice, but 15 times in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Just for walking around.
That's crazy.
And that was Lawson's reality. Yeah. This was in California between 1975 and 1977.
Okay.
And, you know, he was a black civil rights activist. Mm. And all of these stops, every single one of them, was made under this California law.
Oh, wow.
California Penal Code, Section 64070.
Got it.
And this law basically said that if you were hanging out on the streets, loitering or wandering, whatever that means.
Right. Vague.
Exactly. Super vague.
Yeah.
And a police officer had a reasonable suspicion to stop you.
Reasonable suspicion.
Which is, you know, that's a Terry stop.
Yeah, Terry stop. So like a brief detention.
Right. Based on that suspicion.
Exactly.
But under this law, you had to show ID, and not just any ID, credible and reliable identification.
Credible and reliable? What does that even mean?
I know, 15 stops. That's...
I mean, come on, that's harassment. Right.
It's beyond an inconvenience. It's got to be harassment. And it really makes you question, like, how fair is this law?
Exactly. Exactly. And Lawson felt like they were using this law to target him specifically.
Oh, for sure.
And so his case, it really shows us this core principle. Laws need to be clear.
Right.
So that regular people like you and me, we know what we're supposed to do.
Right. You got to know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do.
Right. Think about that phrase, credible and reliable identification. I mean, what does that even mean?
What does that even mean in real life?
Yeah. Like, does it have to be a driver's license? Or would a student ID work?
What if I have, like, a library card?
Right. What if you just know your name and address?
Right, exactly.
The law didn't say. It was all up to the cop on the street.
Yeah. So Lawson, he's thinking, this is wrong.
Yeah.
This is unjust. He takes this to court.
Takes it all the way.
He takes it all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that journey like? How'd we get to the Supreme Court?
So it's an interesting story. Lawson initially sued in federal court, right?
Yeah.
And he argued that this California law, it was unconstitutionally vague.
Right.
And it violated his due process rights, you know, the right to a fair trial, essentially.
Okay.
And here's the crazy part.
Yeah.
He actually represented himself.
No way.
In the lower courts for a big chunk of it.
Wow.
So the district court, they sided with Lawson. They said, yeah, this law is unconstitutional. And then the Ninth Circuit, the appeals court, they agreed. So by the time it got to the Supreme Court, two federal courts had already said, this California law, bad.
Wow. So it seemed like...
It wasn't totally straightforward, though. There's some twists and turns.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When we get into the dissenting opinion, there's some drama there.
Okay, so let's get into it. The Supreme Court, they've got this question in front of them. Is California Penal Code Section 64070 so vague, so unclear, that it violates the 14th Amendment, the due process guarantee?
Basically, does this law give the police too much power?
Exactly. So what did they say?
Well, the majority opinion, they said yes.
Yes.
Big yes.
Okay.
This law is no good.
Unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Okay, so break it down for us. Why? What was their reasoning?
All right, so Justice O'Connor, she read the majority opinion, and she had two main points, two big reasons why the law was bad. The first one, we've kind of been talking about it.
Vagueness.
Vagueness, exactly. The court said, look, this credible and reliable identification, there's no standard for that. It's just way too open-ended. It basically let every cop on the street decide what kind of ID was good enough.
Wow. So it was really just up to them.
Yeah, it was their call. And the important thing here, the really big idea, is that the Constitution doesn't allow for that kind of guessing game with your freedom.
Right.
It's not fair.
No.
Colander says, look, you can't have laws that are so unclear that people don't even know if they're breaking them.
Right.
And the police can't even enforce them fairly. This kind of vague language, it's just not fair to citizens.
Because how can you follow a rule if you don't even know what the rule is?
Exactly.
It's like a sign that says, you know, drive safely, but it doesn't give you any speed limit or
right.
tell you which side of the road to drive on.
Or any traffic signals.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. good luck out there.
Total free-for-all.
Yeah.
And, you know, that lack of clear rules, it goes right to the second point.
Which is?
Arbitrary enforcement. That's the big one.
Okay,
because the law didn't give any guidance. The cops could stop anybody, ask for their ID. Based on nothing, really, just their own gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to discrimination.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Harassment, just like what happened to Lawson.
Yeah.
The court said, look, a law, it's got to have at least some basic guidelines for the police. If it doesn't, like Justice O'Connor wrote, and this is a great quote, she said it entrusts lawmaking to the policeman on his beat.
Wow. So basically,
they're making up the rules as they go.
Yeah, because nobody told them what the rules were in the first place.
Right.
So did California, like, did they try to defend this law? What did they say?
So they argued that, you know, maybe the law wasn't totally vague.
Okay.
Or at least that it could be used fairly in some cases. Like, maybe they said if someone just completely refused to give any ID at all,
right.
that would be a clear violation no matter what.
Right.
But the court wasn't buying it.
No.
They looked at the credible and reliable standard and they said, this is just too ambiguous, too much room for abuse, too much room for discrimination.
Especially after what happened to Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson was a perfect example. They said, look, we can't ignore this.
So we've got the majority opinion and then we've got Justice Brennan who agreed that the law was a no-go,
right,
unconstitutional, but he had his own reasons.
Right.
Yeah, Justice Brennan, he had this separate opinion, a concurrence.
Okay.
And he brought in the Fourth Amendment.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
which is all about unreasonable searches and seizures.
Right.
He said, look, even if this ID requirement was clear, crystal clear, this law still violates the Fourth Amendment.
Mm. Okay.
He reminded everyone, he said, remember, a Terry stop.
Right.
That's based on reasonable suspicion.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, less than probable cause.
Lower standard.
Lower standard. It lets the cop stop you, ask you some questions.
Or just for a time.
For a little bit, right, related to that suspicion.
Hmm.
But Brennan's point was that it doesn't automatically give the police the right to demand your ID.
Mm.
And it definitely doesn't give them the right to arrest you just because you refuse to give them your ID.
Unless they have probable cause. Right.
Right. If they don't have probable cause to believe that you actually committed a crime,
yeah,
they can't just arrest you for not showing ID.
Got it. Got it. So Brennan's basically saying that.
He's saying, look, even with this lower standard for a Terry stop,
right,
the government can't just demand your ID without a good reason. He saw this California law as trying to push the limits of a Terry stop way too far.
Interesting.
Like trying to make it bigger than it's supposed to be. And he also said, hey, forcing someone to give their ID, that's like forcing them to speak.
Compelled speech.
Right. And that's a First Amendment issue, too.
Wow. This case is really, it's touching on a lot of...
Yeah, it's got a lot going on.
...different areas of law.
Absolutely.
And then we've got Justice White, who, if I remember correctly...
Oh, yeah, he was a tough one.
He often had a different take on these issues.
Right.
So what did he say?
Justice White, he did not agree with the majority decision at all.
Oh.
He really didn't like that they struck down the law on its face.
On its face, meaning...
Meaning the whole law, the whole thing is bad.
Just gone. Invalid.
Invalid no matter what. He preferred something called an as-applied challenge.
As-applied. Okay. So explain that a little bit.
So facial invalidity means the law is just bad, period.
Right.
But as-applied means you look at how the law is used in a specific situation.
Okay. Got it.
And White was arguing that, yeah, maybe this law is vague, but you should judge that based on what the person who's challenging it, what they actually did.
So look at their conduct, not just the law in the abstract.
Exactly.
Okay.
He thought if the law clearly applied to some actions, like someone totally refusing to give any information at all,
right,
then it shouldn't be thrown out completely,
okay,
just because it might be unclear in other situations.
So he's saying, let's just deal with the problems
case by case
as they come up. Yeah. Okay. I see his point, but.
But the majority, they push back on that. They said, leaving a vague law like this in place, it's just asking for trouble.
Right.
It's an open invitation for discrimination, especially against certain groups.
Especially after what happened to Lawson.
Right. They kept bringing up Lawson. It was like a cautionary tale for them.
Right. So California, they eventually repealed Section 647E in 2008.
Good riddance.
So that specific law, it's gone. It's history. But Colander v. Lawson, this case is from 1983.
Yeah.
What's its lasting impact? Mm. Why should law students today still care about it?
So Colander, it's become like a cornerstone of this thing called the vagueness doctrine.
The vagueness doctrine. Okay, so tell us about that.
Basically, it's this big legal principle that says criminal laws, they have to be clear.
Right.
They have to be written so that normal people can understand what they're not allowed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the police, they need to have clear standards to follow.
So they can't just make it up as they go along.
No more making stuff up. Courts, they use Colander all the time. Like whenever they're looking at laws that could be used unfairly, mm-hmm, especially laws about how the police interact with the public.
Right.
Think about the stuff we see today. Laws about loitering, about protests, even immigration enforcement.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of legal challenges to those kinds of laws, they go right back to the principles in Colander.
Interesting.
It's this constant reminder, this warning that vague laws,
yeah,
broad laws that aren't clear, they're dangerous. They can be misused really easily.
So for all the future lawyers out there, what's the big takeaway from our Colander deep dive?
Right.
What should they remember?
I think the key thing is this. Clarity in the law, it's not just a good idea. It's not just something nice to have. It's a requirement. It's a constitutional requirement.
Mm.
It comes straight from the Due Process Clause.
Right.
And if we don't have clear, objective standards in our laws,
yeah,
individual liberty, our freedom, it's at risk.
It's basically up to whoever's enforcing the law.
Right.
Which is,
and their biases and their opinions and their mood that day.
Yeah, it's a very scary thought.
It is scary. Colander really shows us that we can't just let law enforcement decide what the law means. That's too much power for one group of people.
It's too much power for anyone. So as future lawyers, understanding this vagueness doctrine from Colander.
Super important.
Yeah, because you're going to be the ones out there arguing,
right,
about whether laws are clear enough, whether they're constitutional.
You'll be writing these laws, fighting these laws.
Yeah. Wow, that's a really powerful point. And it shows why these old cases, even though they're old,
yeah,
they might seem technical, they actually have a huge impact on our lives.
Real world consequences.
Yeah. So think about this. How could the lack of clear laws, how could that hurt marginalized communities the most?
Mm-hmm.
And what can we do to prevent that?
That's a good question.
It's a question that comes straight out of Colander v. Lawson. And it's a question that we're still grappling with today.
For sure.
Thanks for diving deep with us.
Always a pleasure.